If everybody can mute them.
Welcome everybody to Linda Tellington Jones and my class, weird to say, and my class, our series that we'll be starting. And the title of this is Tellington Tea Touch for You, Inspiring Self-Care. And wow, what a better time to be able to learn self-care tools as we're coming out of this deep dive of solitude and quietness. Although I didn't feel so much solitude because we all sort of had each other to meet with, right, Linda?
Absolutely.
It was beautiful to be able to be together. So I have a question. How many of you in here are new to Tellington Tea Touch or studying with Linda and I with our online courses?
Wait, you asked two questions. What are they? You want
okay.
to ask first how many are new?
Yes, and actually, how many? Let me start with how many are new to Tellington Tea Touch and would like us to learn the basic touches, or you don't know the touches, something like those two. Oh, very good. Got that, Linda?
Go ahead.
Okay, so a good amount. Okay, this is good. So this helps us to understand where we are with this class. And so for everybody else or anyone else that already knows it, this will be a deeper dive. But this time, I will be talking about the vagus system, but I will also be adding in glands. Like today will be the thyroid gland, and it won't just be today. It'll be more than today that we'll keep tying it in. But first, I'd like to say that Linda and I have known each other for about 40 years. And a handful of years ago, I was teaching my online course on acid reflux and realized really needed Linda in on this. And people were really, many different reasons behind what can happen with the angst of reflux, and brought Linda in and excuse me. And Linda did with the group, the heart hug. And it was a major change and difference for so many people, of which we then learned we could do this with our dogs. We can do this with babies. We can do this with animals. So it's a marvelous thing. And so since then, we started creating our programs to teach together. Is that right, Linda, about then?
That was the time about the online courses.
We were the online courses.
In person for quite a while before that.
Yeah. So this is fantastic. And there were times we went and studied with Greg Braden, and we brought that inspiration back to the group. And we talked about it in one of the last online free classes that we taught to the public. And we'll just keep bringing these inspirations in. So Linda, with much ado, I never say these things, but with much ado, I'd like to introduce you and have you come and bring to us the heart hug. And I'm going to see if I can spotlight you when you come to teach this, okay?
So this concept, we've been doing this now online, as majority of you know, for 3 years. And this concept of self-care has really taken off. I mean, many, many of you here have had such experiences just from the sharings that we did between each other. And the thing that I think it's really important is to like do this overview. I'm really fascinated with the fact that how is it that we know that with a basic 1 1/4 circle done in either direction, whatever works for you, that we have been able to reduce fear, sometimes completely with some of you here, and release pain, all of us have been able to do that. Every one of you who have been on here before. And my, what's fascinating for me, it's more than fascinating, what is special for me is, how is that? How come that is? And it's because of this deep dive that we've been doing for the last couple of years. I think just going step by step, recognizing, wait a minute, what is it that we are actually addressing? What is this? And for those of you who have been on for the first time, it's moving the tissue in one circle and a quarter, and it's moving, it's not going over it. It's catching, and those of you who don't know this, catch your skin and just move it. And actually it's easier to move it with your whole hand. And I often get the questions on the Tuesday classes, I've had these questions, well, let's see, what is the role of the clouded leopard? Because we have like 20, no more, 22 different names that we've given parts of our hands that we use to move the tissue in one circle and a quarter.
Linda? Linda?
Can I just finish? I want to stay on the line, Eleanor, here, please. Just let me.
A legal piece. It's a legal piece. A legal piece. I just want to.
Okay.
Just if anybody doesn't want to be videoed, because this becomes an online course, you can go to the top corner and turn your video off. Just, I need to let people know that.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's really good. That's great.
Yeah.
And actually, good. Thank you. Perfect. Okay. What I was about to say is that people ask, well, what's the role? What does this touch do, or what does that touch do? It's not so important at this stage what they do for those of you who are just starting. And thing is, use whatever part of your hand is comfortable on the part of the body that you are attempting to move in one and a quarter circles. Whether it's on, many of you are here with your dogs and some with your horses, it's whatever part of the hand is comfortable for you to use to get that basic one and a quarter circle. So over the last couple of years, what we've done is recognize finally, how come this is working? Why is it that we're going to do this heart hug in a moment all together, and that we know that that will bring us to a place of peace? And what we've come to this place, thanks to this routine of Sir Charles Sherrington, with his concept that every cell in the body knows its function in the body. That's what caught me in the second year of my Feldenkrais training. That's when I started being totally fascinated with the intelligence of the cells. And then Bruce Lipton, with his spontaneous evolution book, the one chapter talking about the communication between the cells. And then came my meeting with Dr. Fritz Albert Popp in 2006, when I did just three touches on his shoulder and told him of an experience I had seeing difference in light in the cells of a horse who'd been injured. And it was shocking to me because I don't see things. I don't want to see light in the cells. I don't want to see auras, because what is beautiful about this work, and why we can teach it online for self-help, and why you can give it to others over the phone to help themselves, is that the simplicity of it. And so I just told him and showed him three touches, simplest touches, just like I'm doing here, with the part of the fingers that we call over the shoulder like that, the lying leopard. And he said, that light in the cells represents the communication between the cells. Now, something that I'm going to be bringing up for you is this word. If any of you want to know reasons behind things, just Google Professor Dr. Fritz Albert Popp. And if you want to change your life, if you haven't already realized that our intention creates our lives, read the book, The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. And even if you just read the first approximate 15 pages of introduction, this will give you the understanding that everything is connected. This concept of quantum science, we all need to know to understand that we do create our reality by our thoughts, by our beliefs, by the words that we speak, by the feelings, and by the emotions that we feel. And that is what I continue to weave through these, particularly on our Tuesdays, on our 2 hours on Tuesdays, when we really go, we'll delve into practicing each of these different touches and sharing how it works for us. Because this concept that every thought that we have, every feeling, every emotion, every belief, that's in this beautiful book by Greg Braden called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief. And you'll get all of those. You'll get a book list with those books on it. And what I recommend, because I'll be recommending quite a few with just different concepts in each one, you just put your fingers on the one that you think would be the most interesting to start with. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead you in, first of all, in the heart hug. And for those of you who have done it many times, I want to just remind you of something that's interesting, because in our last class, I think it was in the December class, one of our people from the UK who had only started maybe a month before, and she's a caregiver in a hospital in London, and she'd been having amazing results of just what we're going to do together, this 1 1/4 heart circle on her heart chakra here on her chest. And she'd been having great success at reducing stress and coming to a place of, well, peace. But one day it wasn't working. She did the 1 1/4 circles, it wasn't working. And what she realized is she didn't imagine that clock on the wall. Why is that important? So we start with those who are new, imagining, like I'm sure you all had in school, a clock on the wall. And that clock has numbers. And you imagine you take that clock and you put it right here where it's comfortable, wherever it's comfortable for you. Now, the reason we do this, if you're in a state of agitation and you put that clock there, the numbers, we're going to imagine these, we're going to put those imaginary numbers, 6 toward the ground, 9 toward the right shoulder, just like, and for those of you who know it, jump ahead of me, make sure that you can explain it this way, because you want to be able to really bring all the nuances, okay? I'm going to imagine this like the 12 up toward my chin, and actually I'm going to touch my chin, and I'm going to take the 3 over to my left shoulder. Now, what that does, I can be in a state of agitation and it brings me into the present because the numbers activate the logic. Now, by imagining that clock, I activate my right brain. The left brain is logic, the numbers, and the right brain is activated by the imagination. It's also activated because I'm going to very gently move the tissue. It's just moving the tissue so that you can see that, what I'm doing under my hand. And use whatever part of your hand. Maybe your hands are a little stiff, or maybe you might want to turn your hand over. And for those of you who know the names, we'll just use that baby orangutan. And just one hand over the other. And I start at 6 and I'm going to move the tissue very gently. I'm first going to go to the right because that's my preferred direction. We'll just do it one time. So I move the tissue, watch, so you can watch here, see what I'm actually doing. It's a tiny movement. It's 6 up to, look, a little scoop up to the right, a little scoop. It's not a straight line. It's a quarter circle. Up to the 9, up to the 12. Look at my fingers reach out to the 3, to the 6, to the 9. And why am I doing this so carefully? Because, you know, we can just kind of do it. But for those of you who are, you know, been in these classes a long time, I still find that people are missing the roundness and the rhythm of this all the way movement around 1 1/4 circles and stop at the quarter. That's at the 9. So we've done 5 quarters. And those 5, number 5, keeps us logic, keeps us present, keeps us on the left brain, but the movement and the imagining these numbers, that activates our beautiful right brain. Now, I'm going to have us go the other direction because some of you will prefer that. So I'm going to go from the, just from the 6 to the left. I'm going to go up to the 3. Look how tiny a movement it actually is. Up to the 3, the 12, the 9, the 6, the 3. No, it looks like that. Look, it looks like a big move, doesn't it? When you don't see, and I can take more of the tissue, whatever amount of tissue I can easily, comfortably move with a light contact, because you're not pressing hard, just a light connection. Now, I'm going to make sure, for those of you who are new, those of you who know this, you already have the smile. Watch, now you go in your preferred direction. I'm going to go in my preferred direction. And as I go around, I breathe in deeply through my nose to activate the nitric oxide. And out through pursed lips. Like, let's do it again. No, actually release, stop, just a moment. Relax a moment, take your hand away. Now, with a smile again, and 1 1/4 times, stop at the 3 or 9 and just lightly hold. Now I'd like you to recall, think of something you absolutely love for which you are incredibly grateful, and smile. Let's do that again. Let's really bring this gratitude in. Really feel the gratitude. And now what I'd like you to do with the next one, do it in the tempo that you like. Like I'm doing really slowly. You might want to go a little faster. See what that does. Does that energize you? Do you really like the slow preference? And this time with the last heart hug, let us send gratitude cascading into this 100 trillion cells in our body. Imagine them lighting up. This is what we're going to do later in the second hour. What we're going to do is I'm going to lead you into the forest and we're really going to really go into our bodies in a beautiful way. But let's just send gratitude. And the gratitude is for, the wonder is for the fact that it's now in the biophysics group online. You can see they're now saying that every cell has 200,000 known functions. Those are the ones that are known. We are miracles. What my job is, and I just did a soul purpose with Sage Lewis that we're actually going to bring into you on Tuesdays. We're going to do this with the group. And it's to find what is your soul purpose. And it's a 1-hour process. It's really fun. And it's to fill this sentence. And I'm saying this to you because this is what I'm going to be doing with you. So this is, you say, I am the who, period. In 1 hour, you get your purpose. And why I'm bringing this to you, my purpose is I am the glowing mirror of possibilities who reflects peace, love, and light. And that's what is in this detach. This is what we do. This peace that you will find by coming into heart coherence from what we just did. It's the light that we recognize from the work of Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, the light, which is now known to be at the core of all healing. And the love that we can choose love over fear, because we work with the beautiful work of Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, two emotions, love and fear. And that's what we can do with T-Touch. This is our opportunity through all the different ways of finding areas. And this is what I'm going to lead you on into the forest. Find the areas that want your appreciation, that want to be seen, that want your gratitude. Now, what's exciting for me is that I get to work with Eleanor Silverstein, because when she first started working with me in, I think it was 1980, for 7 weeks, twice in a 7 weeks course with horses. Ever since, we've been working together, and she took those circular touches, and it's in the chapters in my book, The T-Touch for Healthcare Providers, where Eleanor was able to work with a child in ECU. There are actually several of them, but there's just one in the book. A child who was not expected to live, not expected to function. And she couldn't do Feldenkrais because he was so hooked up, because she's an amazing Feldenkrais teacher. But she could reach in between all those tubes and do these little tiny circles. And that's where she started bringing this work in to her Feldenkrais work. And then, I don't know, it's been many, many years ago, she started coming then to here to Hawaii every year, that some of you have been here also. And we've been working together ever since. Just bringing the simplicity of these T-touches for the ear T-touch and the heart hug and all this incredible work. And we're so blessed to have here among us many of you who have done this. And we have with us, I'm going to just cough a moment. And we have Karen Freiling and Andre here. And they worked with me for many, many years. We co-taught together in for 3-year trainings for humans in Germany. And so it's really fun to have you here with us. Karen and Andre, where we're bringing this for the self-help online. So I'm going to turn this now over to Eleanor. And the reason that we chose this to bring in the thyroid this time is that this self-care that we all need, thanks to COVID, I'm sure it's thanks to COVID, I have wound up with a very interesting challenge of, first of all, Epstein-Barr virus. And I know it's just from inactivity for over a year, and Hashimoto's autoimmune disease. And so it gives us an opportunity to bring this amazing self-care. How can we help all the other stuff I'm doing? Because I'm working with naturopaths and MDs and integrative doctors with all of the natural supplements. And what can we all do to boost all of this in our body? And that's where Eleanor is so brilliant. So it's your turn. And we're going to take a break in about 35 minutes. Well, maybe 40, if it's the right timing. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll have a chance for comments and questions and feedback.
Great, thank you, Linda. Okay, let me, there we go. I don't know if you can see that I'm changing spotlight on here so we can get the video more focused in. I would love to share with you a little bit of a presentation that I made. Hold on, let me just find it here. Do, 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 do. 1 second. Oh, there it is. Okay. So tell me if you can see this.
Yep.
There we go. Okay. And then, okay. So let's see. So Linda asked me to talk about part of the vagus nerve system in relationship with the thyroid gland. And you would wonder what the heck would the two have to do with each other. So I'm going to show you a little bit of the anatomy. Let's just call this number one, right? We can go deeper at another time, but let's get an idea of what these systems look like together. So some of my favorite nerves in the body, part of it is the branches of the vagus nerve. People who have taken the class before have heard me talk about it, and it is fodder for much conversation many, many times. I can't seem to use a pointer here, but if you can look at the photo up here and you can see the brain and you can see all these amazing nerves, and you can also see how the nerves branch out to the left and out to the right. They travel down. These are the branches of the vagus nerve. So nerves. It's two branches that come out from the brain on the bottom left and the bottom right. They travel down the left side and the right side of our body. They innervate along the carotid artery. They innervate very much so along a part of these other nerves that branch off the vagus nerve that you'll see that actually feed the thyroid gland, and you'll see how we'll go into that. But if you look and you can see, it goes to the heart, the lungs, the diaphragm, and to all the digestive organs. And the news and is
Eleanor,
yeah.
Can I, and remember when we started talking about it was because of the ear.
Yeah.
The ear T-touch.
Yes.
That was the connection. Amazing.
Right. Which is super important. I apologize. I was just trying to get to thyroid, but you're right. So it comes out and it branches up here because it connects to the trigeminal nerve and it connects to other nerves. So just because you call something the vagus nerve, it's not just the vagus nerve. It's part of a system.
I'm going to jump in. And why it was so important, because with the ear T-touch, we had realized after seeing this that we were affecting this entire thing that we're seeing here, this system. It's so incredible. And we had no idea why ear T-touch, it's only one of the reasons, but a big reason that we could affect our bodies in such a way. The connections are just brilliant. And this tree that you provided us with, Eleanor, it just fascinates me. And the same with some of us who've been looking at this and realizing this connection that you bring to this. So,
It would be fascinating actually when you say this, because, you know, I was building up to this all these years. I mean, it was my favorite part of the system in college, then watching Moshe give lessons and talking to him about it. And then when I started studying with you, with the horses, how much work we did on the ears of the horses, working the base of the horses, and then finally getting to where we could flap the horse to get the ear to become so soft, and meaning, so we're not just going around in a circle and working the back of the horse's ear here. See, this is all stuff that led to us doing this with ourselves, right? And so, then when we got to the back of the ear, then eventually we would take it and flop the ear to see how soft we could get their ear to go like that. And we were able to take a horse that was concerned. You could see the tension around the eyes, the forehead, and the ears maybe a little bit out to the sides, not pinned back, but we could bring those ears to be forward and movable and listen to the breathing of the horse and the whole demeanor of the horse change. And I have to believe that that was deeply part of the vagus system, right?
Well,
because they are about heart rate variability.
Absolutely. It has to be. And the thing that was really interesting, what got me all those years, because we know for horses and dogs that we, and people, because I've done this with people, just like a horse, because of around the base of the ear runs a triple heater meridian that runs down the neck across the shoulder to the front feet of the horse. And that affects digestive and respiration. And that's why it was working for the colic. But it's really interesting to bring it into the vagus system to connect that with the animals.
Amazing. I mean, it gets me thinking about dogs that are have a more of a propensity to other illnesses and what that could actually be too related to. So, and us, and we could talk Hashimoto's at a point. So this is too many words, but I just want you to know that the vagus nerve is the 10th cranial nerve, and it has motor nerves, which have to do with movement, and it has sensory nerves, which means it has input from the system. It senses the environment outside the body and senses what's happening within the organs and brings that information up. It's very much part of the rest and digest. I know that people bring it up with the trauma. They bring it up with the dorsal branch, but it really is about the calming and quieting branch and very integrative system. And I believe very strongly that that is very important, a very important part of T-Touch as to what this does to enliven the parasympathetic. And it can create an integration of motor movement, sensory input, and calm and quiet in the body. Look at this beautiful butterfly shape thyroid gland that is in the front of the neck, in the front of the throat. And remember, you don't have to be exactly there. And every picture may show it a little differently, but it tends to be in the front of the hyoid bone, behind the hyoid bone in front, behind the hyoid bone. So this bone that's part of the swallowing. Now, what's really interesting is that the vagus nerves go innervate into the sides of the thyroid gland. The part that the vagus nerve is about is not about the hormones of the thyroid, meaning thyroid stimulating hormone and all of that, but it is about inflammation. So if the vagus system is off, it may not give such good feedback. So if the vagus system is on through heart hug, through breath, through smile, through positive belief, then already the vagus nerve can do its job that is about not having inflammation to the thyroid gland. Does that make sense? I'm looking around to see, I can't move my cursor around to see everybody, but I'm hoping that that makes sense. That the part of the innervation of the vagus nerve that goes to the thyroid is about anti-inflammation. Hashimoto's thyroiditis is an inflammation of the thyroid. I think that Hashimoto's thyroiditis is one of the most common problems with the thyroid gland that leads to hypothyroidism. So, but I am not an expert, but this is something I've been delving into for several years, and it really catches my interest because in my Feldenkrais practice, when I'm using T-Touch, and I'll show it to you today, it makes a huge difference in the quality for people.
And Eleanor, one of the things that would be interesting as we're doing this is just let people take this time to multitask while you're talking about this, and very gently just find parts of the hand that are easy to, with the lightest possible touch, just bring, it's like turning the key, this 1 1/4 circles is like activating that creative life consciousness in every cell. What I'm holding, what I'm visualizing. And this, so that as we think of the whole vagus system, we see this, we can go down and we can take this opportunity together just to be whatever touches, you know, just go down to the bottom of that vagus system, wherever your hands are attracted at this time, and do these little 1 1/4 circles and lifts, and just say hello to the body in this way while we're talking. And this way, what we are doing two things. We're getting it, hearing it, but we're also feeling it. And what I want to say, and Eleanor and I will say this multiple times, we can do lots with T-Touch. Now, I'm working with inflammation. There are many, many ways, and I'm only doing it from natural ways with the inflammation, but we have to keep saying that. We never think that T-Touch alone is going to take care of this. It's all the stuff we bring together with it.
Hold on. There we go. Yep.
Eleanor, do you want to see if there right now, if there are any questions so far?
Oh,
so
good.
Because
okay, hold on.
A lot of good information. And let's
good question.
Well, we're
let me go to, okay. Does anybody have any questions so far?
Are they in the chat?
I didn't look. One sec. Yeah. Not sure what you meant by the bottom of the vagus system. Yeah. See, okay. So Catherine wrote, not sure what you meant by the bottom of the vagus system, because we haven't gotten there. So let's not go there yet, please.
Sorry. I'm looking at my chart. Thank you. Thank
I know. I know. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. So don't worry about it. I went, oh no, we're not there. You got to let me get there. Yes. And I will show you the organs and all of that. So Linda jumped ahead with her enthusiasm. I'm just trying to stay in one place right now.
Thank you.
Regarding, it's not like me to stay in one place, but whew, there's always a first, right? Hannah's laughing. Everyone knows me. Anyway. Okay. So let's go back to screen share. Okay, this is a beautiful picture. And again, I wish I could move my cursor around, but if you can just look around and see that there is the swallowing mechanism of the throat down the center line that's in a light gray. And then you can look all the way to the right, the red tube that comes down. That is the left carotid artery. Ooh, la, la. With much excitement. I say this because look what is traveling right along the side of the common carotid. I got so excited. The carotid artery, the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is traveling right along the carotid artery. If someone has had a whiplash or they carry their head forward or right. Okay. So there's stress to the stretching of the vagus nerve. I wonder what happens to the carotid artery. I want to know why the heck does a common carotid artery, especially on the left side, tend to get a little bit calcified. You know how when people get older, they do the ultrasound along the carotid arteries. Like, why would the carotid artery? Oh, because if you look, one of the things, not only, but just take into consideration, if the vagus nerve on the left side is stressed, it doesn't just transmit information up and down. It transmits information out to the side. And is it possible, I ask you to take into consideration, is it possible when the vagus nerve traveling on the left side is a little bit stressed, that that information that travels across also travels the barrier through the carotid artery, because it doesn't just travel along the outside. It weaves through it. It weaves around it. It's just this photo. Don't believe every photo you see on the internet, because there's all kinds of variations. This is what a human drew. This is the generalized picture.
So what so can it, we do, Eleanor? What can we do with this? So guide us in what we can do.
Okay. Okay. Take a quick look and see the thyroid to the left. And then the vagus nerve wraps down around and comes back up. And that's where the vagus nerve goes into the thyroid gland. And it does it on the right side and the left side. So the vagus nerve is sort of yellowish orange. It goes down and then it whoops around the arteries and then it comes back up into the thyroid gland. Okay. Do you have that image? Now I will go out of screen share. Hold on. You know what works really well here, Linda? Is the chimp.
Yep.
The chimp and the baby chimp. The reason why is sometimes it's nice if you have a good safety to use the pads of the fingers. Let me see if I can make myself larger just so I can see myself. Okay. Sometimes it works nice, but sometimes people don't feel so safe to have the fingers along the neck and the throat, and it could be too deep. But if we do the chimp and the baby chimp,
which is, for those who don't know it, the chimp is just using the fingernails. That's the baby chimp. Just try it on your hand. Like, just follow me. Look, I put my thumb down. So I move the skin around the circle, in the circle and a quarter. Look where my thumb is. That's one. And for those of you, that's the chimp. There are reasons that we've given them in animals I've named this after, but between the first and second joint, that you can see it on, maybe on my face better, like that. See from underneath. And the thumb may or may not be connected, whatever is comfortable for you here.
So to me, it's more the chimp than the baby chimp. It's all of this here between the knuckle and the first knuckle. It's that softness, and we can go a circle and a quarter, and we end with the up, right? So we can go a circle and a quarter, and as if 6 o'clock were below and 12 o'clock is above, and I'm going to go into gallery and see everybody. And be careful, if you get too close to the midline, you might feel a little bit of a choking feeling. And it's okay. It's just, that's not where you need to be. See, can you feel that? And the touch can be oh so light, but we're a little bit more to the side. Now we can get to the baby chimp, and that's when we can get to the thyroid. And you bring in that smile, the breath, and the touch is so light, because the thyroid is a gland, it's an organ, and the organs transmit information with the lightest touch you can imagine. They don't have a skeleton around them, so they receive communication so lightly. So the lighter the touch, the more the communication you'll have to the thyroid and the vagus nerves that feed to it.
And it might be interesting, Eleanor, to just not like to go away, up away from it, around a little farther to the back, and talk to it as you come around. So we're actually getting.
And you know why? You know why? Okay, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Because I knew you were going to.
I could always use a reminder, because this beautiful ballerina muscle called the sternocleidomastoid, it starts at the mastoid, it goes to the sternum, and it goes to the clavicle. So it's got three branches up, it goes forward there. Do you see that? There it goes forward to the sternum and to the clavicle. And lo and behold, the vagus nerve weaves all the way through that beautiful muscle. So when you can go all the way along the sternocleidomastoid, the circle and a quarter, and going up, you end with it going up just ever so lightly, not pushing, not too assertive, just as a hint, the lightest, most gentle touch and hint. And that goes up back into the base of the brain. And as that feeds back up to the base of the brain, there is a quieting, a calming, an ease, and an ability to receive information into more parts of the brain rather than just the smaller, lower part of the brain. But we can get blood circulation to more parts of the brain. And then we can follow it back to the thyroid ever so lightly. You see how you can go back and forth?
And it's interesting, Karen Freiling might remember, it was in Germany in one of our T-Touch for You sort of classes that we were doing that I got this baby orangutan. And because right in, we were working on necks, and as you said, Eleanor, it's no, you don't want somebody, we're putting hands on each other. No, you don't want somebody's hands around you. Not even my own hands here. It's nice, the friend, because we know why. So I just turned the back and that, like this. And it was, it was so lovely. You see how I just fitting this part in here from the tip to the second joint. And that is the baby orangutan. And just, you know, to bring us to the animals for a moment, the reason I came, the orangutan is from the tip to the knuckles when you have the hand at 90 degrees. So this is great on the side of a horse. On the side of a dog, it's too big. So you just use half of it and the half like this, where from the tip to that second joint is perpendicular to the ground. That is the baby orangutan. And I happened to work on one when he was 2.5 months old in the San Diego Zoo, who had an inadequate sucking reflex and wasn't thriving, wasn't going to make it. They had a pediatrician work on him. Nothing was working. And I was asked to work with him. And all I did was touches along his little spine, because he was in this arched, erect position, so he couldn't suck. And then I worked his little mouth and inside his lips, and he loved it, and worked his little belly. Like, of course, that I didn't know I was doing the whole vagus system at that point, you know, the front. And he sucked that whole bottle down. And that's when that beautiful orangutan came into my life. The reason it's important that we bring the animal names in, because I had no idea when I started naming them animal names in the 80s, because of what's now called the nature deficit syndrome, that we don't feel our connection to nature. This, we're part of all it is, and we're getting disconnected, humankind, unless you happen to have a dog or horse and you're out going out, but we're still not taking you know, feeling a part of nature. And so every time we think of one of those animals, it's right here in our hand, in the part of the hand that we're using. And you think of that and you bring them into your life. Eleanor, should we ask now, let's see, get some feedback from
how
this feels, what you think, what you're feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at Megan Gardner. Do you want to unmute yourself and say, share with what you wrote in the chat and we can talk about that?
Well, in 1972, when I was 22, I'm 71 now, I had a goiter was discovered by my, I was in LA. I was going to school at USC in LA. And I, we all had this fabulously handsome gynecologist, and he found a goiter on my thyroid, and referred me to a surgeon named Golden Hands, who removed half my thyroid. And I didn't get a second opinion. I didn't know anything then. So that was when a weight problem kind of got worse, and have been battling it my whole life. And anyhow, so I have half a thyroid. So I have half a butterfly. And I don't know how the vagus nerve might be dealing with that. And this work will be so fantastic for me to practice and perhaps, you know, help this my poor half a thyroid.
So Megan, may I say something about that? Mm-hmm. Just what we were practicing with the horses. Visualize where that is, because it's still part of you, even though it's gone.
Oh, okay. The ghost.
Call it in and acknowledge it. And this is where you all, part of this self-care is learning Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness, forgiving ourselves for not getting a second opinion, forgiving the doctor who took it out and didn't know if maybe there wasn't another way, but it happens. And let's just bring love instead of the choice of the fear that it's not there, that it's only half there, because we can go either way. That what's the choice? Which do we see? This is part of this course also. For those who've been with us over the years, you know this. Okay, here is a glass. What? It's like a third... we can see this as empty, two thirds empty, or a third full. Where do we want to put our emphasis? So we can do even more than that, because you can now imagine that that's still a part of you, and let's just start loving it. Loving the part that's there, loving all around, as Eleanor led us all around. Let's bring all this. That's part of what we're going to do with the body blessing.
Linda, I'm so glad that you said that, because Megan and everybody, no matter what parts had to be removed, our body always remembers it there. There is still a memory of a vibration. My dog is snoring. Still a vibrational frequency that holds there. And what we can do is, so what side was it? What side was removed, Megan? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
I think so, but I don't know.
Okay. So
the doctor might be able to feel and find out, but I don't
know. Okay. It seems like often the left side seems to be an issue, but I don't know. Okay, so yeah, go to one.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't have an actual.
No worries. You go to one side. You go to one side, and right. So you're using this part.
Okay.
Right here.
Yeah.
And you're doing the touch. And then you bring in the other side and you say to yourself that I can feel it in me here on this side, and I can feel the memory of it here on this side. And you're teaching and reminding of the wholeness. because there is always a memory. It's part of our embryology. It was there before you were born, Megan. It was there when you were really tiny. In the first trimester, it was being made. In the first handful of weeks, it started off as tissue and migrates its way to become that. That's how much. So it was an issue. They had to take it out. You get a better health from it. You have a weight problem. It's more hypo, but you're alive. And then you can work with yourself on both sides and say, remember me.
So that's really good for all of us, right? To know, to remember. And let's see if we've got other just thoughts, comments, experiences, questions, how this was. Anything that you have. And for those of you, just one second. For those of you who are new, just know there is any question that you have is welcome. There are no such thing as, oh, I should know that, or oh, I don't, I'm new. All of you who are newbies are great for all of us who are experienced, because it reminds us of things that we didn't know, or it clarify. And so just know you're absolutely, any questions are welcome or comments.
Okay. I love Dilly B question. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to... Dilly, if you're there.
She is. Do you want to... If you just unmute yourself.
What I actually wanted to know was, if you cause damage to the vagus nerve, for example, by a whiplash or a neck injury, blow to the head, something like that, it won't necessarily damage the vagus nerve as such, but can cause a stretch or a twist or something like that. Will that then affect the whole of the vagus nerve or parts of it, as well as the part where it was stretched? Because obviously the messages come from the brain down through the rest of the nerve.
That's a good question, because for each person, it can be different. But let's say it does. These are the things that we can do, right? Is that when we're working with the back of the hands along the sternocleidomastoid to quiet from that experience in the whip of the neck or the head, which frankly, who hasn't, right? Even if someone stops the car just a little too fast, there's a little bit of that. And then we get a little stress that the heart rate goes up. So we can give this to us at the end of every day, in the middle of every day. Then also the heart hug tunes it back up. And then eventually one time in one of the classes, when we get to the belly work, bringing it back up. So all of these, the other thing that you can add to it, when you're working these sternocleidomastoid muscles with the back of the baby orangutan, right? You can also quietly turn the head with soft eyes side to side. And if we have time in another class, we'll really go into why that is so important, and the movement of the eyes and the differentiation of the eyes in that with this breath, right? And then we can do that with the heart hug. So when we give the heart hug, we can add this softness. It's a little bit, Dilly, like rubbing the belly and patting the head, right? But we can add that rolling of the head a little from side to side, that softening. And that just brings us back to that neutral place, and maybe even better.
If I was just thinking, this could happen during the birth process as well, can't it? Because obviously the neck of a baby as it's born, as it goes through the birth canal, does a lot of twisting and turning. And so you could get an issue with the vagus nerve from day one.
Well, let's think what we can do. Let's say we can that can, we can go to all those places, what could happen. Let's say, let's focus on what we can do, we can do. That's where I, rather than speculating, because, oh my goodness, how much stuff happens to all of us. So
we'll go to another question. Thank you, Dilly. Catherine, I can't find you now, but you had something that you wanted to share. Let's see where you are.
She can unmute herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just mentioning that I had a parotid tumor removed. It would have been, I'm trying to think of when, probably in the 1970s, long time ago. And I don't feel any particular angst or anything about it. I was just mentioning it because it created this interesting effect that there's always moisture here when I eat, and this part of my face turns reddish. And nobody ever mentioned anything about that at the time. And nobody's ever said anything about it any particular way. It's just been sort of this curiosity. So I wondered if it related to what we're discussing here. There's pain, there's no problem that I know of. It's just a bizarre phenomenon. And it's like literally wet. It's like I'm perspiring or something like that.
You know, when the vagus nerve gets disrupted, one of the side effects that you can see in people is the extreme sweating. So it could be extreme sweating on the bottom of the feet. It could be extreme sweating in the palms of the hands or armpits. And so, you know, when they go in, they have to move things around. And it could be just enough that it's a disruption that your system didn't quite get it recalibrated. And that's why this working along here on both sides, and think about how you can connect it from side to side and work along here. It's miraculous what working along the sternocleidomastoid along there because of the vagus nerves that weave all the way through it. And then we can also go at another class along the base of the skull to those muscle groups, because that can help shift the head, which will let this along the side of the neck become, you know, the nerves and the muscles along the side of the neck to become more integrated also. And so also there's a lot that happens along the face, but I think when you work with the back of the hands along the sternocleidomastoid, heart hug, and the gentle touch along the base of the skull, all of that will create the shift, and you'll see what happens along the side of the face and the neck over time, the more quieting of the nerve system. Does that make sense, Catherine?
Sure. I do have another question then related to that.
Catherine, we hold that question until, can you write it down and hold it? Because
it's really basic.
Okay.
So I can't tell if I'm doing one, and I can tell about round, because, you know, from Feldenkrais training, I know round, but 1 1/4 and ending at the top, I can't seem to find where to begin to end at the top if I'm trying to do 1 1/4.
And it's not the top, it's the side. Imagine the face of a clock.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the wall. Okay, you put that clock there. The 6 o'clock you place toward the ground, which is logical, right? So from the 6 o'clock, you go one time around, which will bring you back to 6. And then you go up halfway to the top, which is another quarter. So you go up to the 9 or the 3. So it's actually 1/4 circle up, like a little arc up from the bottom, from the 6.
Ah,
it's not actually to the top.
I thought I was supposed to end up at the top, and that's why it didn't work out.
That's why language is so difficult when always it's a quarter, it's halfway, but it starts at the six. 6 is always toward the ground. Yeah. And that's a really basic, important question, because I've known people who went through quite a few dog classes and still didn't realize that because we weren't clear enough about it. That's why that clock on the wall, putting that clock there is really helpful, and going back to, wait a minute, 6 o'clock is toward the ground. If you were upright, you know, if you're standing upright. Thank you for that question. And Eleanor, one of the things I'd like to, we want to take our 10 minute break and mm-hmm. just to get water, stand up, stretch. Before we do, I want to inspire you with something to be thinking about. And it's a statement from this little book. It's actually, I picked up the wrong book. It's called Uncommon Prayer. And it's an explanation of the effects of quantum science. Because what we can realize, this is at the basis of all of this work that we're doing. And I want you to just, I love this statement. It's something, when I have slack time, I say this statement over and over to me. In between the stuff that makes up the universe, that's, is not just empty space, that's everything we can see in the universe. In between the stuff that makes up the universe is not just empty space. Holding it all together is a wonderful, rich quantum field, out of which emerges in orderly patterns all matter, that's everything that we can see, feel, touch, and all energy, which is everything else, including all the thoughts, feelings, emotions. Some scientists call this intelligence or consciousness. And the rest of the world calls this God or source or divine spirit. Deepak Chopra calls it the field of infinite possibility. This is really important, this holding this concept of infinite possibility, that we can activate those parts of ourselves that are inactive, that we can't feel, or parts that or quiet, calm, bring to a place of peace, the parts that are painful or the fears that we sometimes have in panic situations. So Deepak Chopra calls it the field of infinite possibilities, and says that when we achieve the stillness of the prayer state, and that stillness is one of the nine basic nine elements that you will all get. And those of you who are in it know that one of the basic nine elements is the mindful pause after you make the 1 1/4 circle. So that pause, when you achieve the stillness of that peaceful pause, that you too can help to shape the forms that emerge out of this field. In other words, we can help to activate that memory, that function. For me, my passion is that communication between the cells. That communication that makes our bodies function in ideal state. And that's what we're focusing on with T-Touch. And that's what, when we see these elements that Eleanor brings in, and we can then take that back and say, wow, we can affect that in these ways. So it's now 9:09 my time. I'm in Hawaii, much earlier than. And so we're going to come back together in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, we'll be back. Just stand up, take a break, stretch, take a drink. We'll see you back in 10 minutes.
And should we pause?
I'm going to stop so they can actually have a new recording when they're listening. So we stop the recording.
Oh. And then